Seasoning. Season every grain offering of yours with salt. Do not omit from your grain offering the salt of the covenant with your Elohim, but offer salt with all your offerings. Leviticus 2 verse 13. For everyone who will be salted with fire and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Mark 9 verses 49 through 50. Have you not perceived that the ones working out of the sacred place are to eat from the sacred place, and those who serve at the altar of the sacred place get a portion of what is offered there? In the same way, Yeshua directed those proclaiming the gospel should live out of the gospel. The article Without to Within focused on how the temple has now been elevated by the Spirit to be within those who embrace the nature of Spirit by keeping the words of Yahweh in the life exampled by Yeshua. Today's hirelings that are employed at their local place of worship believe the verse from 1 Corinthians above justifies their wages from the flock as a select few, elevating themselves to benefit themselves. But read this verse again from the interlinear version. It is the straight translation without all the additions, assumptions, and corruption to the words accumulated over time. Those serving from out of the sacred place, the temple, that is now within should also be living out of the offerings placed before Yahweh as Yeshua directed. Are you involved in the work of the ministry, proclaiming the scriptural gospel of the kingdom through the embrace, the living of the life of Yeshua so that everyone can see? Not the traditional Christian gospel of salvation not found anywhere in Scripture. If you are, then you are also allowed to live out of the sacred place as a priest set apart to Yahweh and to partake of the offerings brought there by the other members of Yeshua's body. Yeshua never told anyone to not present offerings of tithes, just to do them according to the nature of Spirit. In his elevated temple, since all those in his kingdom come from a nation of priests, those receiving the offerings are also the presenters of the offering. Romans 12 verse 1 tells us that just as the temple itself has been elevated by Spirit, even so, the life we live is now our elevated offering of worship. However, since the church has disassociated itself from the Hebraic underpinnings of the words of Yeshua and the epistles, dismissing them as not relevant anymore, most of those claiming to follow the Messiah do not have a clue as to what the grain offering of Leviticus 2 verse 13 that Yeshua was referencing in Mark 9 verses 49 through 50 above is all about. So, let's look at the words from the perspective of the Hebrew authors who wrote them out of a Hebraic mindset, influenced by a Hebrew culture, and see what they really wanted to convey. The Hebrew word for grain offering is mincha. In secular use, it is often connected to the tribute a servant gives to a master or the gift from a vassal to a king. It's not always about grain, but it is always primarily about a gift offered in tribute to the one being served, the first fruits of life, the best that I have to offer to Yahweh. This is an offering that is performed daily, always following the daily burnt offering. But unlike the peace offering and the burnt offering, it did not involve animal sacrifice. Furthermore, only a handful of the grain offering was actually burned. Most was given to the priest for food. The most common spice used in biblical Israel was salt. there being hardly any food which was not seasoned with it. Salt served the additional function of symbolizing the making of a covenant. Salt was very important in the ancient world, not only to flavor food, but was also of utmost importance in the ancient world as a preservative. In fact, it was so important that wars were fought over the control of salt production. Without refrigeration, there was simply no way to keep meat unless it was preserved with salt. So salt became the great symbol of the prevention of decay. Salt retards corruption, both physically and spiritually, which is why the covenant with the Levites, the priests set apart to Yahweh, was so important to retard and plague from consuming those coming near the presence of Yahweh. Since light and darkness cannot occupy the same space at the same time. It was from this Hebrew perspective of retarding corruption that Yeshua calls all of his followers salt. Are you following Yeshua? Is your life retarding corruption? Are you living in such a way that your very existence prevents the decay of Yahweh's words in the world? Yes, Yahweh's words, because Yeshua's words were not his, but those of his fathers, and Yahweh's words are the source of life. That is the test of your saltiness. We all have the property essential to retard decay available to us through the indwelling of Yahweh's Spirit, but not all of us are using that property. His Spirit is given to bring to our remembrance His words. Some of us are so polluted with elements of this world that our saltiness is lost in that confusion. Too many are still attempting to coexist with Babylon, mixing the traditions of the world with their salt in the belief that salt cannot be compromised. People who heard Yeshua knew this phenomenon quite well, however. Living near the Salt Sea, which is inaccurately called the Dead Sea, they were in close proximity to one of the saltiest places on earth. But the salt from the sea was useless in retarding corruption and decay. It was so polluted by other elements that it was unfit for use as a preservative, in spite of the fact that it was salty. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Matthew 5, verse 8. The religious hirelings tell us we can barter holiness for convenience, faithfulness for success, wisdom for sermons, sound doctrine for personal gain, and our lives will still be acceptable worship to Yahweh. But Yeshua says that if you are going to be the salt of the world, you will have to remain pure to Yahweh's purposes. That means doing as He instructs, not bringing our favorite agenda to the table. The real translation of the word used for pure in this verse is clean. It comes from the Greek word katharos, meaning to purge or cleanse. The Hebrew word for pure is barea, which carries the same meaning as used in Psalm 18, verse 26, and its derivative, bar, used in Psalm 19, verse 8, to declare Yahweh's commandments, His words to be pure. Of course, what is cleansed is pure. Thus, katharos is the same word kefir, the Apostle Peter, uses in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, telling us how our lives are cleansed and made pure by obedience to the truth. That truth is contained in Yahweh's words, who is truth. Remember, Yeshua said he only spoke what he was taught of his Father. Yeshua is the way to the truth, who is the source of life. It is in this practice of the words of Spirit that makes us clean, bringing forth the purity of Spirit through our lives into this earthly realm, what it means scripturally to be born again. Interestingly, the only place where salt loses its saltiness is in the crucible of fire. Yeshua came to baptize with Ruach HaKodesh, reading right to left is Hebrew for the holiness of Spirit, and with fire. It is the fire of life's tribulation that causes the impure to separate from the pure, not the other way around. Mixing motives for selfish gain, concerns for self-protection, preoccupation with self-desires and moral holidays with the real salt only turns us into salt sea salt. Salt but useless in Yahweh's kingdom. So what does this have to do with us today? We are not living in the 15th century BCE, but notice this. The Septuagint, Greek Old Testament, translates the Hebrew mincha with the Greek word thusia, meaning sacrifice. However, mincha is used only 5 times as sacrifice in the original writings, while used 164 times as offering. Thusia is the same word that we are told Paul uses in Romans 12:1 and Yeshua uses in Mark 9 verses 49 through 50. But as Hebrews, they would be using the Hebrew word mincha, offering, not sacrifice. Regardless of the language used, they both knew perfectly well the grain offering was daily, tribute to the sovereignty of Yahweh. Isn't that exactly what is suggested by the exhortation to present ourselves as living sacrifice in Romans 12, verse 1, a living offering? It isn't once, it's every day. It isn't just some of my life, it is all I have. It isn't just plain vanilla, it's my best, salted with the covenant of Yahweh's words. This is what it means to be a holy consecration. This is the sacred offering that we both present and receive out of his temple, his sacred place now abiding within those who lives conformed to the example of Yeshua's life, whose standard are the words of his Father. The grain offering was presented every morning and every evening in Israel at the beginning of the day's production and at the end. We might not physically take a handful of wheat to the temple altar today, but if we don't understand the meaning of the grain offering, we will neglect to perform its elevated representation every day in our interaction with those of his kingdom, thereby denying Yahweh's sovereignty over our lives and ignoring Yeshua's specific commandment of John 13, verses 34 through 35. When Yeshua spoke those words, it was not to a crowd or even to the multitude of believers following him. These words were spoken to the 12 who had dedicated their lives to following his example of life. How we care for the other members of Yeshua's body, just as dedicated, not those of the world, is how the body, his temple, is built, and it is what it means to be an acceptable and perfect offering. This is how the world will perceive who his disciples are and then desire to join his body. Ah, and here you thought it was about morals and living correctly according to the precepts of the church, both of which are essentially the constructs of men. If you thought the offering were abolished when Yeshua died at the cross, you miss the point. The offerings were expanded by elevation into the hearts of men, not abolished. That's the direction of the restored covenant. So the next time you sit down with your toasted oatmeal, think about the grain offering. Present yourself into his storehouse as grain dedicated to Yahweh, sharing with his priests a tribute to his lordship over you this one day. And then do it again tomorrow. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13, verses 34 through 35.